Money and markets. I'm going to give more report when I talk with Franklin about my trip to Europe, but first a few words. We had a great question from one of the subscribers. In the past, you've commented that you think a sort of reengineering is what is going on in Europe. After your trip over there, would you still that still be your characterization rather than, for example, a collapse of the Eurozone? Please share with us your thoughts on this critical matter. Everything I saw in Europe confirmed to me that what we were watching was a reengineering, just as we saw the housing and debt bubble entrap consumers and homeowners were watching debt entrap governments, and that sort of entrapment being used to exercise greater and greater financial control over governments, and it's all part of the shift we've talked about many times, of the shift away from sovereign governments as sort of the political control. I did two things when I was in Europe. I was at a conference for a week, and that conference was focused on how to build local communities. And I spent, it was a wonderful group of people. There were people from around the world and really wonderful people doing great things. But I found myself spending about half of the conference in a state of terror, and I finally said to one person, you know, one man's echo village is another man's prison camp. I can hear Franklin giggling in the background. And, you know, it's because my view of the world is really one of economic warfare, there are tremendous numbers of very good-hearted people who have no idea how some of their ideologies can be misused. And so you always want to be careful when you think about going local, that it's going local because that's what free individuals want to do, not something that can be used in other ways. I'm going to try and write an article reporting on the conference because I think it's a good there's a real good discussion of sort of economic models and how those economic models can be used or misused. The second week and a half, I was visiting with money managers both in Switzerland and in Austria, in Vienna, and it was a fascinating time. You see a whole group, I think it's now 12 Swiss firms who've registered with the SEC so they can continue to provide services to Americans, and you see the real sort of currency wars and economic warfare going on back and forth between America. You know, I really have to say that what we're watching on one hand is a world that's being outmaneuvered by what I call the breakaway civilization and greater centralization. On the other hand, the world is getting smarter. You see so much anger and frustration in Europe towards what they refer to as the political class, and a realization that they really have to outlive them. And there's real admiration for certain parts of America. I'm coming back on the plane. I read George Friedman's new book, The Next 100 Years, and his description, he describes America as a barbaric nation, and that's what you see and feel from Switzerland as you watch the sort of currency wars and economic warfare and capital controls get fought out in thousands and thousands of tiny little rules. And more on the European situation when I talk with Franklin during Precious Metals Report. The MF Global mystery continues with John Corzine testifying in front of the Agricultural Committee today, why the Agricultural Committee, MF Global, had many futures positions of farmers, and we see farmers all around the country who were hedging their positions, not speculating, but really hedging legitimate positions, losing money. One of the big issues here is not just that the firm went down, but the customer accounts were not protected. That's a new one for the Chicago Exchange. We had, and I posted it up on the blog, an interview with a woman who had a commodities trading firm who shut it down because of the CME's failure to protect the customer accounts. There's a lot there that I don't agree with, but I put it up because it is one point of view. Her contention is that this is a real proof that the rule of law is no longer in America. And as I said to Franklin earlier tonight at the dinner table, where has she been for the last 50 years? as you know, the rule of law has been continually compromised. So you get it's a description by somebody who I think is pretty clueless about how the system works, but she does communicate the outrageousness of what's happened with customer accounts and how unprecedented it is in the futures market. The question for me continues to be, was this a hit or was it simply incompetence on the part of Corsi and the board and the management team? I don't think we know. I tend to believe Corzine today in the testimony when he said he did not realize that there was a problem with customer accounts till October 29th. The fact is that that could absolutely be the case, because particularly if this was a hit. Interestingly, I should mention I have great conflicts vis-a-vis Corzine, because I don't think there's anybody in the world who has more reason to despise him than me. He was the person running Goldman Sachs when I was financial advisor in the HUD loan sale, so I have lots of reasons to be crosswise of Corzine, but the reality is, as I said earlier last month, you know, I hope Corzine enjoys a rule of law that I did not. U.S. consumer debt is up. Consumers increased consumer debt by almost $8 billion in October, and it looks like a lot of that includes non-revolving credit and student loans. So not a good sign about the economy if consumers are borrowing more. We had the L.A. City Council vote to support a constitutional amendment against corporate personhood. As many of you know, this is a topic which can drive me into the stratosphere. It takes a lot to get under my skin, but this one still does. There are a couple of issues here, and I just want to keep beating this drum. What happens in the process of a constitutional amendment? You open up that process, and a lot can get hijacked. The second thing is, what exactly is going to be involved in it? One of the things I fear is anything that might compromise Americans' right to own and build private equity and private enterprises. One of the things I saw at the conference in Switzerland is a real push to build ideology coming out of the grassroots that cuts off sort of the private person's ability to own private property and to build wealth through private property and private enterprise, which would be an absolutely dreadful development. Some good news: Elizabeth Warren is in the lead in Massachusetts, while the person instead who was appointed in her place to the Consumer Protection Agency is struggling still to get confirmed. But it's proof that good guys sometimes can win. I got an email from a subscriber this week that says, "Well, I guess you called it right." And in the email was news that BP has taken the position in court that Halliburton destroyed evidence after the Gulf oil spill. Why is it that that doesn't surprise us? So we're still not sure it was an accident. I think the odds are very good that it was not an accident. The National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, there's a National Defense Authorization Act every year, but this year there was language on detentions of persons in the U.S. by the military that had the Internet aflame all week long. The Senate has passed the act. It hasn't passed into law. So it hasn't passed out and been signed by the president. It says the Senate passed with a provision that excludes U.S. citizens, but a lot of the reporting on the Internet didn't really make that clear. Surprisingly, gun sales on Black Friday were the highest they've ever been in the country. The FBI received 129,000 requests for background checks for gun purchases. That's up 32% from the last high in 2008 of 98,000. So looks like 130,000 Americans are about to get guns for Christmas. That doesn't surprise us.